greet each of you in Jesus' name this morning. Good to see the house well filled today. Thank you, visitors, for coming. We appreciate your presence. I enjoyed the service, enjoyed the singing, the song that we sang, the last song here just before, after devotions here, or after Sunday school. Stood out to me, those four, Holy Ghost with light divine, four verses. Verse 1, shine upon this heart. Verse 2, cleanse this guilty heart. Verse 3, cheer this saddened heart. And verse 4, dwell within this heart. And that is the process by which we find joy and life and hope in Jesus and fulfillment. The Holy Ghost shines upon us. We yield to Him. He cleanses our guilt, our heart. We have cheer, and He dwells then within our heart. I think sometimes we get that backwards. We want the dwelling, we want the cheer, but we fail to avail ourselves of the cleansing. We fail to surrender our heart. Appreciated that, those hymns. How do you feel this morning? Well, our feelings and our emotions are fickle, aren't they? Sometimes we feel stronger than other times. Sometimes we feel weaker. Our feelings are not always the same. Do you have any projects at home that you started and you lost interest and you got discouraged and the project is sitting there half done or maybe a quarter done? It's not finished and there it sits. I'm one who I can have visions and dreams, start projects, and I'm one that when the going gets tough, then I tend to bail out, maybe. Back when I was, I think it was in my low 20s, my friend and I, we were unmarried, and he was a mechanic, and him and I bought a Buick, a 1929 Buick. It needed to be restored, and we set out to restore this 1929 Buick. And I can still remember that in my head, I just had this picture of this beautiful, restored old car, you know, those wooden spoke wheels, and just I could just see us driving down the road in this restored vehicle. And that just really looked... Yeah, it just really looked, inviting. I remember my friend's dad chuckling about the fact that, sort of pouring cold water on our project, that, yeah, we'll see if you get this done. You know what, we never finished the 1929 Buick. Eventually, I met my wife, started courting my wife, and other things started coming into our experience, and he started dating, and there were other things, and after a while the vehicle was parked back in the corner, partly finished, and he ended up selling it to someone else down the southern states, and I guess that man finished the project. But the project that we set out to do didn't get finished. Well, that's one thing in the material world. In the spiritual world, how is it with me today? How is it with you? How is your spiritual life? How is my spiritual life? Are there things that are pulling me down? Are there things that are there goals I have and aspirations that I would like to accomplish? Disciplines that I would like to have in my life, but I feel discouraged. I feel like I can't quite get over the hump. God wants us to have victory. God wants us to have courage, to live in joy and happiness. I'd like to notice four foundations of true encouragement. And I'd like you to turn with me to Haggai. Haggai is a short book. You remember, it's Zephaniah, Haggai. Haggai is a short book. It's two chapters. And I'd like to think of a sermon this morning, four foundations of true encouragement. I'd like to think of encouragement to rise up and build, or encouragement to keep on. Keep on, and we could maybe think of vision. We could think of, brothers and sisters, we have so much in the Lord Jesus. There is so much. Let us not be discouraged. Let us rise up to the challenges of today. March, is it 2nd or 3rd, 2019? Let's rise to the challenges of today. I'm going to read Haggai chapter 1. We might read a little more this morning than what we normally do. But there's just so much in this book for us. The children of Israel are now being encouraged to continue, to again continue in the work of building the temple, building God's house. They had been building it earlier, but the work was stopped. They got discouraged. Pressure was put upon them, and they discontinued the work. And now Haggai is coming to them with God's message, and let's read. Five times in this book, there is exhortation to consider your ways, or to consider now from this day and upward, and so forth. Consider your ways. I'd like for us to stop for a few minutes, each one personally, to consider your ways. Consider your heart. Consider your aspirations for the Lord. Where would he have you to grow? Let's read Haggai chapter 1. In the second year of Darius the king, in the sixth month, in the first day of the month, came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet unto Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jozadak, the high priest, saying, Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, This people say, The time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, Is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses? Sealed houses means paneled houses, nice houses. And this house lie in waste. Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Ye have sown much and bring in little. Ye eat, but ye have not enough. Ye drink, but ye are not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, and there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put into a bag with holes. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Go up to the mountain and bring wood and build the house, and I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, saith the Lord. Ye looked for much, and lo, it came to little. And when ye brought it home, I did blow upon it. Why, saith the Lord of hosts? Because of mine house that is waste, and ye run every man unto his own house. Therefore the heaven over you is stayed from dew, and the earth is stayed from her fruit. And I called for a drought upon the land, and upon the mountains, and upon the corn, and upon the new wine, and upon the oil, and upon that which the ground bringeth forth, and upon men, and upon cattle, and upon all the labor of the hands. Then Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, the son of Jozadak, the high priest, with all the remnant of the people, obeyed the voice of the Lord their God and the words of Haggai the prophet, as the Lord their God had sent him. and the people did fear before the Lord. Then spake Haggai the Lord's messenger in the Lord's message unto the people, saying, I am with you, saith the Lord. And the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, the governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Jozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people. And they came and did work in the house of the Lord of hosts, their God, in the 24th day of the sixth month, in the second year of Darius the king, moving on to chapter 2. In the seventh month, in the 21st day of the month, came the word of the Lord by the prophet Haggai, saying, Speak now to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jozadak, the high priest, and to the residue of the people, saying, Who is left among you that saw this house in her first glory? In other words, he's asking, he's saying, Who of you is left among you that saw the temple, that temple that was beautiful and glorious, saw it in her first glory, and how do you see it now? Is it not in your eyes in comparison of it as nothing? Yet now be strong, O Zerubbabel, saith the Lord, and be strong, O Joshua, the son of Jozadak, the high priest, and be strong, all ye people of the land, saith the Lord, and work, for I am with you, saith the Lord of hosts. I love that verse. Be strong, I am with you. According to the word that I covenanted with you when ye came out of Egypt, so my spirit remaineth among you, fear ye not. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once, it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land, and I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come, and I will fill this house with glory, saith the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine, and the gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts. The glory of this latter house shall be greater than of the former, saith the Lord of hosts. And in this place will I give peace, saith the Lord of hosts. Reading on. In the 24th day of the ninth month, in the second year of Darius, came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, Ask now the priests concerning the law, saying, If one bear holy flesh in the skirt of his garment, so we're going to skip over on now to verse 15. And now I pray you, consider from this day and upward, from before a stone was laid upon a stone in the temple of the Lord. Verse 18, consider now from this day and upward, from the 24th day of the ninth month, even from the day that the foundations of the Lord's temple was laid, consider your ways, consider. We're going to leave off reading there. Revival. Continue building. Get back to work. The house was laying unfinished. The people succumbed to discouragement. Disappointment is to fail to meet the expectation or hope of. It's disappointment, and we know what disappointment is. Sometimes it relates to life's disappointments, and in the process of accepting them, we find ourselves becoming discouraged and maybe depressed. It was talked about in our Sunday school about Samson, how he was at a low time in his life. We don't know how he felt, but he was giving in to the pressures around him. Four foundations of true encouragement for the Christian today. God's word came through the prophet Haggai. And I like how the question could be asked. So, are the leaders the ones who need to have the courage and the strength to continue on in the work of God? Or is it the church family that inspires the leadership. Well, I think it goes both ways, but I noticed in this portion here, Haggai, the word of the Lord came to the leaders, and the leaders, it came to the leaders, it came to the people, they were all involved in this. We're all involved. Leaders certainly must have vision and point the way. It's an encouragement to me. Do I have vision? Or am I content with just the mediocre? Or do I have vision for the future? Or am I discouraged and falling back? Is the temple unbuilt? Discouragement robs life of zeal and joy, and if left unchecked, can ruin one's life. I'm discouraged. Abraham Lincoln once said this. Abraham Lincoln, he said this: I am now the most miserable man living. Whether I shall ever be better, I cannot tell. I awfully anticipate I shall not. Doesn't that sound discouraging? But do you ever feel a little bit like that? Do you ever feel a little bit like that? God does not want us to be there, brothers and sisters. God does not want us to be there. There is a work to be done. There is a work to be done. I'd like to now look at these four elements of true encouragement. When I say true encouragement, I would say foundations. Foundations that we must have in our experience. Number one, Haggai 2 and verse 4. Yet now be strong, O Zerubbabel, saith the Lord of hosts, and be strong, O Joshua, son of Jozadak, the high priest, and be strong, all ye people of the land, the leadership and the people, saith the Lord, and work, for I am with you. Number one is God's presence. God's presence. What does it mean to me? What does it mean to you to have the presence of God with you? To have the presence of God with us is the presence of divine authority, the authority by which all other things in heaven and earth are subject. Genesis chapter 16, I think it is, I'm not sure which verse it is, but Abraham had went and fought that battle with 318 of his servants and brought Lot back in the possessions. And he talks in that passage about God, who is the creator and the possessor of all things. God is divine, sovereign authority. God's presence with us. Listen to these verses as I read them. Mark 4:39, and he, meaning Jesus, arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. I'm talking about divine authority. I'm talking about an encouragement for living, an encouragement to continue building and to keep building is God's presence with us. Ezra 5:5. But the eye of their God was upon the elders of the Jews, that they could not cause them to cease, till the matter came to Darius. And then they returned answer by letter concerning this matter. The eye of their God was upon them. The presence of God, the eye of our God is upon us. Psalm 145:18, the Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. The sincere seeker, the one who cries out to God and says, God, it's too much. I can't handle it anymore. This God is nigh unto all them that call upon him. So often in my discouragement and in my feeling of being overwhelmed, I forget to call upon the name, call upon God, to pray and to call upon him. He's nigh unto all them that call upon him. You know what that is like? When you come to the end, or you're in a situation that's overwhelming, and you're reminded to pray, and you pray, and you lay it down at the cross, and you lay it down, and you know what it's like to experience that peace? To experience the answer eventually, maybe it's not right away. God's presence. Verse 19 of Psalm 145, he will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. He also will hear their cry and will save them. God's presence, I am with thee. The child who is scared to go out in the dark, or the child who is scared to go upstairs to get ready for bed because it's dark up there and they're scared. The child calls for dad to go with them. They find courage because dad, they have trust and faith in dad. God is more than dad to us. He is our Savior. He is the Creator. We can trust him. Matthew 1:23, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Is God with you today? Do you have his presence with you? Is he in your heart? Is your relationship with him current? Discouragement causes us to tune out and not hear the voice of God. 1 Thessalonians 5:19, quench not the spirit. We need to take time for God every day. Take time, live with time for devotions. And I thought about it in our lesson as we were studying today. The question is, where is my focus? Where is my desire? What is my delight? What appeals to me? You see, what I feed grows and what I do not feed dies. Where is my desire? What is my heart panting after? It's a challenge to my own life. Do I desire the presence of God with me? Do I value his presence? Do I live my life? Do the decisions I make reflect that I am a child of God? Number two, Haggai 2 and verse 5. According to the word that I covenanted with you when ye came out of Egypt, so my spirit remaineth among you. Fear ye not. Number two is God's promises, a foundational element of encouragement to continue building and to keep building are God's promises. As I have covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt, my spirit remaineth among you. Fear ye not. My promises still stand. You know, in the world that I'm involved in sales, we try not to have this happen, but occasionally it does happen. And that is, a customer will call and he'll ask for a quote on a certain item. And we quote it. Sometimes there's an unforeseen or there's miscommunication of some sort, whether it's between the vendor, your vendor, or whatever. And all of a sudden you notice that, whoa, that quote is wrong. I'm going to lose money. But it was quoted. It was a promise. It was quoted. There are various approaches to this. Sometimes people will call the customer back and say, look, I'm sorry. It's actually not this anymore. This is the price. Things can be worked out. But I always try, as best as I can, to hold that quote. Sometimes you have to lose money to keep a customer happy. Live a life of integrity. But what I'm getting at is this, is that God never misquotes. God's promises always stand. They never change. The promises of God stand unchanged and will continue unchanged for time and eternity. We live in a world of change, but his promises never change. Listen to some of these. God forgives the sin of the repentant. That is a promise. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That is a promise of God that never changes. It never will. God forgives. Today, we sometimes become discouraged and despondent because we lack faith to believe that God forgives my sin. When you have met the requirements, God forgives, and he wants you to live in joy. God provides a path for victory is another promise that never changes. 1 Corinthians 10:13, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Sometimes we quote this verse, and we say, with the temptation also make a way of escape. It's not what the Bible says. The Bible says make a way to escape. The choice is ours. But God provides a path for victory. Another promise of God. God promises rest to the soul that comes to him. Matthew 11:28, come unto me all ye labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I want to bring a message sometime on that rest. Experiencing rest in Jesus or something like that. Rest. Another promise is God will never leave his child. God will never leave his child. Hebrews 13:5, let your conversation be without covetousness. And be content with such things as ye have, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. A foundation of encouragement to continue building, to rise up and continue, is God's promises. God promises hope of eternal life. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, the hope of eternal life. 2 Peter 1:4, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. We must remember, as we think on the promises of God for the saint, to remember that God has promises for the unfaithful and unbelieving as well. The very nature of God's love and mercy commands it to be so. God is a God of promises. He stands firm on truth. Number 3, and this one here I'm not sure if I can properly, or if I can convey to you exactly my thoughts. But number three is God's perspective. God's perspective. Does God have perspective? What is God's perspective? Perspective is a mental view or prospect. Our perspective has a major influence on our outlook in life. Our perspective is formed by calculating the future in light of past experiences, whether good or bad. We say things, we're talking together, and we say, at the end, we might say, well, that's my perspective. That's how I view it. And we all have different journeys that we walk, but what is God's perspective? As God looks down at his people, and God looks down at the nations, let's notice Haggai 2 and verse, a few verses here, 6 to 9. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land, and I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come, and I will fill this house with glory, saith the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine, the gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts. The glory of this latter house shall be greater than of the former, saith the Lord of hosts. And in this place will I give peace, saith the Lord of hosts. What is God's perspective? God owns it all. It's all his. First Corinthians 13:12. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know, even as also I am known. Isaiah 55:9. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways. We see through a glass darkly. Our perspective is very small. God sees the whole picture. When I am battling discouragement, what I need is a different view, God's view. When you're flying in an airplane, you have a different perspective when you look down on the landscape. How does God see us? How does God see me? Have faith and trust in God. Oh, to be able to have faith and trust in God, who knows the bigger picture. You see, God had a plan. God had a plan. God's perspective. The more I surrender my will to God's will, the more I come to realize I have in God all I need. Did you get that? The more I surrender my will to God's will, the more I come to realize I have in God all I need. If I do not surrender my will to God's will, I will not realize, or I will not believe, that I have in God all I need. I want us to have courage to keep building. To keep building. let's rise and build. Even though the path may be dark and dangerous, and there may be discouragement, there may be those that say, you know, if a fox walks on your wall, it's going to break. God is with us. God has promises for us. Let's believe them. God's perspective is so much greater than ours, and we trust Him. It's where we find rest. The last one is God's peace. Another foundation to build, to rise up and build, another foundation is God's peace. Haggai 2:9b. And in this place will I give peace, saith the Lord of hosts. Paul describes this peace as passing all understanding. Philippians 4:6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Peace is quietness and rest. Or we could say it's set at one again. Oftentimes, when we are struggling between God's will and our will, and there's a battle of the wills, well, we could think of it this way. When a young child has disobeyed and has guilt in their heart, and there is fear of punishment, or there's unrest, and there is sadness and turmoil. But when the child is delivered from that guilt, there is again peace between dad and mom, we could have it in marriage relationship too, but there's again peace. The wills are aligned. It's peace. Peace which passes all understanding. A number of years ago, I had this in my notes and I failed to give it. A number of years ago, there was a chicken house in the White Horse area, I think it was. Yes. A rare February tornado ripped through the White Horse and Gap area of Lancaster County. Among a lot of properties that received damage was a chicken farm. The community responded with support and materials, and relatively speaking, in a short time, the damaged properties were rebuilt and the chicken house as well. Now let's fast forward 4 months from that February. The chicken house is rebuilt and the first flock of layer hens are just beginning to show signs that egg production is picking up. One morning, the same farm experienced another loss when the new chicken house burned along with 17,000 chickens. And what encouraged me was the response of the farmer. We've gotten through this once, and we will get through it again. We have strength from God. We don't understand why situations like this happen, but God has a better plan for our lives. God has a better plan for our lives. You see, that is peace that passes understanding. Because God is a God of miracles, and there are times where we look on situations and we say, however would you go through that? But God's peace is a peace that passes understanding. This peace is available to God's people. 1 John 14:27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Psalm 119:165, Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Do we have that peace this morning? Do we have the peace of God in our heart? Value the peace. Do nothing to disturb the peace. And when your peace is disturbed, get back on track. Conclusion. To live the Christian life takes effort. To be a Christian is not easy. Satan does not like it when his plan is not being served in the Satan does not like it when his plan is not being served in the hearts of men and women. It is through discouragement where he at times will attack and seek to bring someone into defeat. We have these four points, four foundations of encouragement to rise up and build. To get back to work, God's presence, I will go with you. God's promises, I will not forsake you. God's perspective, I will transform your focus. And God's peace, I will comfort you. Let us kneel to pray.